Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, you guys ready for it? So I'll make you a deal. I'll go as fast as you will listen. If you listen slow, a long service is on you. I'm just messing with you. Hey, there's a lot of things going on, and God's doing some really, really good stuff today. This is a new season. Better yet, it's a new time. And just to set your expectations, we're intentionally pressing into God in a new kind of way in this season we're in. It's because he invited us to. So why not go where he wants to take us, right? Yes? All right. This weekend is Memorial Weekend. And so as we open our hearts to ask God to meet us in his scripture, let's spend a little time acknowledging the sacrifice made by the men and women whose lives were invested into the freedoms that we steward. And remember that it's a stewardship. They did not give their lives so that we could just chase holidays around. But their lives were given so that we could steward a freedom that can be used for what God gave us freedom for. Does that make sense? So would you just do this, just wherever you are, here in the auditorium or there online, just open your hearts and hands to the Lord. Let's pray and ask God to guide us. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we open our hearts and hands today to worship you in this place, aligning our hearts and minds to meet you in your scripture, we do so realizing that we're free to do this because men and women for hundreds of years have invested their lives into the freedoms that we steward generation by generation. Today, God, we stop to acknowledge that and ask God that you would take their investment and remind us that this is a precious freedom that we steward on at their expense. So, Father, we thank you in advance for the freedoms that we have. We ask that you would continue ministering to the family trees, the family lines, the legacy of those whose lives were invested into the freedoms we enjoy. Today, God, we ask that you would cause the next half an hour or so that we spend in your scriptures to be especially fruitful and meaningful. And we give you thanks in advance for all of it in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right. I want to encourage you to get something out to capture what God talks to you about, either your notepad, your Bible, your phone, your tablet, something. I just trust that you're going to be ready to hear God talk to you because he will. He is talking. In fact, he's already talking. You may not be hearing it yet, but he is talking. So let's get ready to hear. We are in a series called Life on Purpose. And today is part three. It's really the conclusion of this particular series of thoughts that God's given us. And today I've entitled this Tuning Into God. Everyone say tuning in. Everyone, tuning in. No, really, everyone, tuning in to God. All right, this is going to be a fun service. I think you're going to actually learn some things today that will really equip you for what this season of God's plan and purpose for your life is. And so, with that in mind, let's jump in. Matthew 6, chapter 31 through 33 says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God." Everyone say, "Kingdom of God." "And his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you." A quick thought on this. If you seek the things that are supposed to be added by God, you'll miss both those things and the kingdom. You may get some things by your own efforts, but it won't be the things God wants to add to you. See, what God adds, he adds without sorrow, he adds without regret, he adds without the detractors that come with the things that we get by our own efforts and energies. So he's saying, I want you to seek the kingdom of God first and that righteousness, and my righteousness, and I'll add those things. So just, that's a freebie for you, for those that are taking notes. Everyone look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is another scripture that God gave me for this morning. New King James says, but without faith, everyone say without faith. It is impossible, say impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, everyone say rewarder, of those who diligently seek him. So as we're following our way through the year, where God is saying, here's where we're going. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and I'll add these things. When it comes to seeking the kingdom of God, we're reminded that there is a benefit to the intentionality with which we seek. In an era of time where everybody wants everything for free, just dump it on my lap. I don't want to work for it. I don't want to invest in it. I don't want to labor for it. I don't want to do anything intentionality. I just wanted to bring it to me and dump it in my lap. In that era, God is saying, I don't work that way. But if you seek me, you'll find me. But I love a lot of the overtones in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But listen carefully one more time. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. God is looking for a pleasurable experience that comes when he gets to do what he wants to do as we diligently seek him. In other words, when he's talking about the reward of those who seek him, that actually gives him pleasure. So God is saying, I want you to know without that faith, without trust, it's impossible to please me because you got to believe I'm here and that I reward those who diligently seek me. So the question that God has for us this morning is, are we diligently seeking him? It's appropriate to let God stir us and sometimes sting us with perspectives that we think, oh, we've got that. In fact, maybe you're listening today and think, I already know that scripture. I've taught that in the Sunday school. I taught a life group about that, Pastor Dave. I already know this one. Tell me something I don't know. The issue is not what we know, it's what we're doing. So we live in a culture today where you can go get degrees in business from people who teach business degrees who've never owned a business, and we don't think a thing about it. We're used to people peddling concepts that sound interesting, but the question is, do they have the moral authority to actually explain and deliver what they're teaching? So it's not just what we know, it's what we're doing. And this is important because our adversary trips a lot of people up with that subtle difference of, I already know that, it's not working. But when you actually pull the sheet back and look, you're not actually doing what God said. You just know it. By the way, my face may look really set and firm and focused, borderline angry. I'm not. I'm very excited on the inside. This is me jumping up and down with excitement. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why did you give me such a stoic face? Other people just beam with smiles and laughter. And for my whole life, I've just been firm and fixed. Please don't be scared of that or put off by that. I'm very excited. But it's important to let God give God the space to let us actually hear him say, wait a second, you know it, but you're not doing it. And do that by his scripture, because his scripture is the word of life to us. Now listen carefully to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And then we're going to dive into what God's actually calling us to look at today. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. We need something to teach us what is true because we don't instinctively know what's true. We'll believe just about anything. Whole industries are built on ideas that aren't true at all, but people buy it. That's what debt is. What is true in our life and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. In other words, God's saying, I'll show you why that's not working. I'll teach you truth. I'll show you why it's not working. And then if you'll let me, I'll teach you, here's what actually is true. Verse 17 says this, God uses it or his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So as we're going through the scripture this morning, it's important that we realize that God uses his scripture to teach us what we actually need to know and give us the path we need to walk on so we do what's called, what we're called to do and experience what God's given us, the promise of that we'll experience. He does it by his word. So we're in this series called Life on Purpose or Living on Purpose, and God is telling us that there is a reward for those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligently seek who? Him. When it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God, many people focus on the how the kingdom of God works. All right, so I'll seek the kingdom of God. How does it work? How does it work? How does it work? Teach me the way. What are the principles? What are the ways? What are the layers? What are the mechanisms? Give me the constructive perspective of how the kingdom of God works. And this is one of the things we're going to spend a minute of time on this morning and allow God to bring a subtle shift of our focus. How? H-O-W. That's what most of us think we're looking for, is how the kingdom of God works. Three really important letters, H-O-W, because when we think about the kingdom of God, once we make a decision we want to pursue the kingdom of God, then the next step is then how do we do that? Now God wants us to know this morning that those three letters are really important. They're just out of order. What we really need to focus on is the W-H-O. So our natural thinking is H-O-W. We got to put the last letter first, W-H-O. So it's not how the kingdom works, it's who the kingdom is. Who the kingdom is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things be added. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? How do we do that? Remember, God says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek who? Him. W-H-O, who? The king and his kingdom. So if you're taking notes, I hope you'll jot these two things down. In the flavor of what God's emphasizing for us at this point of our journey through the year, God is saying, seek me first. It's the king and his kingdom. His domain is a better way to say it. Kingdom is really the king's domain. And the king's domain is all about the king. So subtle shift, but I believe it's the door to an understanding and insight that will unlock what God's trying to help us collectively and individually experience. God wants us to seek him relationally and his domain, his kingdom. That's the whole point of the kingdom, is the king. See, kingdom principles without the king's presence is like having a kingdom without a king. It's like having a form of godliness but no power. Let me just briefly touch on a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a lot of words, and we could meander our way past what I think God's really focusing on, but let me get to where I believe God has by way of just reading through the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says this, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come. For men or people will be lovers of themselves." Just see if any of this sounds like the culture we live in. Lovers of themselves. We live in a self-centered culture. Lovers of money. Yay or nay? Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Here's an awkward one. Disobedient to parents. Now listen, don't forget, I'm 55 years old, my mom is still alive. And though she's not parenting me, there's still an honor principle that goes with honoring my mother and father. Does that make sense? Unthankful. Unthankful. Yes or no? Unholy. It's like he's painting the picture of the 21st century in America. Unloving. Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Ouch, that kind of hurts everybody. brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughties, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, here's what's really spooky about all of this. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. In other words, he's talking about Christian-looking people. In other words, it's possible to live a very religious life and have a lot of that stuff going on. Now, no guilt or no condemnation. It's what I love about how the Holy Spirit works. He just said, hey, listen, don't be condemned and painted into a corner so you feel uninspired to do something about what I'm showing you. I'm telling you what needs to be fixed so you can actually step out of the trap you're in and step into what I've called you to experience. God wants us to live in freedom and in the power and in the power of his presence. But we'll never get that by just pursuing his principles as if there's no prince, if there's no king behind the principle. He says, from such people turn away. From such people turn away. Now listen, the idea there is don't weather vane into them with an open heart to be influenced by their values. Turn away from them. It doesn't mean you don't care about them. It's just don't let them influence you. Don't. You know what it means when you turn into somebody, you kind of lean into somebody. Somebody gets your attention and you're kind of like, hey, tell me more. God's saying, don't lean into people who have a form of godliness but no power. Don't lean into that. Don't be mean to them. You don't have to be ungodly. You don't have to be rude. It's just don't open your heart to people like that. God says, I've got something else I want you to experience, and that is the fruit of pursuing me. Seek me first and my kingdom. So let me give you a couple of three little handles when it comes to this, and I think God's going to show us something. When it comes to the issue of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is what God's had us on all year long, we're going to break it down into three things. Everyone say three things. We're going to talk about the king. Everyone say the king. His words. And then his ways. So we're going to start with the king. The first one, who is he? He's the king. He's our Father God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says this. In this manner, therefore, pray our, what's the word? Father. Our Father in heaven. Is he God? Yes. But he's not an angry deity looking for reasons to slay you. He's a loving Father. He's good. Your Father in heaven loves you. He is smitten by you. He can't get enough of you. When he thinks about you, he just gets all warm inside. He doesn't think of you the way you think of you. Aren't you glad? Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy, or to be revered is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to get a lot of mileage out of that this year. But the principal point today when it comes to the kingdom of God that we're seeking is to seek him as our Father God. This was a big shift for me. In just the way I grew up. I grew up thinking of God as a holy God, and he is. But I was more focused on his holiness than his fatherness. And as a result, I was a little bit scared of him. And when I considered my sin in my life, it made me want to hide from him. So picture this. Your Father, God in heaven, has good things he wants to do for, in, and through you. And he says, come on, seek me because I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. And it gives me pleasure to do this. I can't wait to do this. Chris Boggs, God has got something he wants to do in and for you because he loves you like a father because he is your heavenly Father. Does that make sense? All right. And so the idea is he says, come on, come to me. Don't run from me. One of the things for those of you that don't know, my wife, Cherie, and I, you may be new to the church, we don't look like parents of a two-year-old, but we are. I know I only look like I'm 35 years old. I'm really 55. But I have a 2-year-old that keeps me young. So if you're feeling old, I have an idea for you. Adopt a 2-year-old. You'll instantly feel young again. It's an amazing experience. But what we're trying to teach her is, listen, if you'll bring your issue to me, you won't be in trouble. Don't run from me, bring it to me. So the other day, I was giving her a pouch of yogurt. And so I said, okay, she was done. She said, I'm all done. And so she said, I said, take it to the trash. And so I hear steps up, slam, trash can lid. Then I hear, Daddy, I made a mess. Now, for just an instant, because I'm not Father God, I'm still kind of Daddy Dave, I thought, this 55-year-old body is really enjoying this couch. And the last thing I wanted to do is get up and clean up a mess. But I remembered, I'm trying to teach her and train her, bring your trouble to me. So I shifted my mode and said, okay, let's take a look. As we walked over, we got a wet paper towel, and we both started working to clean it up, and we just celebrated cleaning up a mess. Now, that's not, if I don't have time to tell you all the times I get this wrong. I don't get it right every time, so I'm not trying to toot my horn. That makes sense? I am trying to say your Father wants you to know He's good. He loves you. Our Heavenly Father in heaven. So when it comes to God and His kingdom, He wants you to know He's good. Everyone say God is good. So I've spent enough time on this, I need to move forward because there's a few more things I've got to get really covered with you today, and I don't want to go super, super long. But when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God, remember it's Him first, not the mechanics of His kingdom. Everybody got that? Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Does everybody have that? I don't want to go through that again. I'm just playing. I'm going to be in trouble when I get home, I think. So the king first, and then number two, His words or what He said. So we seek Him first, the relationship with Him, and then we seek, what does He say? What is He saying? What's He telling us to do? How's He, what are His directives, His instructions? And the reason He tells us these things is because we don't instinctively know or do what is right and what is true. So we have to follow His words. And you may be thinking, well, I don't hear His voice. I don't hear God's voice. And I want to tell you, if you're a born-again, Christ-following Christian, the reality is you do, you may not know how to discern it. Or you may be trying to hear Him with the wrong equipment. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, or chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he, the natural man, know them because they are spiritually discerned." Everyone say natural man. You know natural, the natural way we think. Say by the culture around us that this is the natural way we think. God wants you to know the natural way we think is not the way He thinks. His word says, you have no idea how much higher my thoughts are than your thoughts. How different my ways are than your ways. But if you'll let me show you, I'll show you. It's just that you don't naturally think of them. So we try to figure out how to get God to do what we want Him to do by maneuvering Him through the things we learned about what He's said in His word. Oh, I don't want to go there. I got to admit, I'm really struggling. I have 14 sermons I'm trying to preach at one time. Are y'all getting anything out of this, by the way? Okay, good. Everyone say, God's voice is not naturally discerned, it's spiritually discerned. Okay. Many people struggle on hearing God because they're trying to use the wrong equipment to hear God. Okay, it's like this. Who has a cell phone in here? Okay, actually, would you be willing to get it out and turn it on if it's not already on? Okay, open up your texting app. Open up your texting app and then think of a friend who, it could be a friend that's here or somebody who's not here, but that you think is actually around their phone and will hear this message. and then say, text him or her a message and say, hey, I'm in church right now, and my pastor asked me to text you a message and ask how you're doing and what you're working on. And why you're not in church. I'm just kidding. Don't you have to say that. Okay, and then please text me back. He needs it for an illustration. And as soon as you hit send, turn your phone off. Just, hi friend, how are you doing? What you doing today? I need you to text me back real quick because my pastor needs this for an illustration. And as soon as you hit send, turn your phone off. Turn the texting app off. I promise I'll let you answer in just a minute, but just for this first step, let's just do it this way. All right? I just need to give everybody a chance because if you're like me, you text real slow. I was watching my daughter text the other day. She's like, I was like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? Because I'm like, ding, ding, ding. So I'm kind of slow. All right? Everybody got your phone text done? If you've hit send, let me see your hand. Just a few more minutes then, because I want most people to get this experience. Once you hit send, turn your text app off. And when they reply, don't answer it. Don't look at it. Okay, now, how many of you heard the alert or felt the buzz? Has anybody started getting replies back? Don't look. Okay. Now, here's where I'm going with all this. The reality is, right now, thousands of text messages are streaming through the air of this room. Thousands and thousands of text messages are streaming through the air. You can't hear a single one of them with your ears, can you? What if you close your eyes and strain real hard? What if you fast for 7 days? The only way you're going to get that text message is if you open up the app on your phone, click on the message, and read it. Right? Now, the reality is, they've sent that message. You just don't have it yet. You may be thinking, why can't I hear that message? I already prayed about it. Why don't I hear that message? I fasted about it. Why don't I hear that message? Right? How many of you are dying to open up that app and answer? Okay, so that you'll listen for the rest of the message, go ahead and open up and say, hey, thank you so much for the message back. I'm really grateful. I'm learning a lot. By the way, you should really listen to this message and see where you fit the sermon. You can watch it at lifelinkchurch.com. My point is, God is talking. He's talking. But many people are trying to figure out what God's saying without actually letting their spirit connect with God. You guys got a few more minutes left in you? So when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God, first thing God's wanting us to realize is don't seek the mechanics of how it works. Seek the me who is the king. The next thing is I want you to learn my words so you can hear my voice. Here's the best way to learn the words of God, how to hear the sound of his voice. When you spend time with him in his Bible, you actually learn how he talks. You learn what he feels like. You learn what he sounds like. And you learn the impressions that he gives you, that you discern in your spirit. I'm almost done. The last thing is, so we got to first seek the king. Next, we got to seek what he said, which is his words. And then number three, we need to learn how he works, which is his kingdom principles. How he works. Everyone say how he works. So I know this feels a little drawn out. It's almost like three sermons kind of squeezed into one, but I got a lot of ground to cover, and I hope you're really listening because he's showing us something that would make a real difference in our life. Number one, who he is. Number two, how he talks. What's his words? Number three, what are his ways? What are his ways? What are his ways? I was thinking about how to illustrate this, and I feel like the Lord gave me a phrase that I want to pass on to you, and I'm intending to make this part of the message about 6 or 7 minutes, then we'll wrap up and be done. Just to give those of you who feel like I need to know when this is going to be over, we're just about 6 or 7 minutes away from my first closing. But we are going to have fun. How he works. Everyone say learn close to home. In other words, when it comes to learning his ways, don't just open the Bible and look for random facts. What season of life are you in? What circumstance in life are you in? What are you going through? Let's learn what he says about those things. Learn close to home. Don't just learn random things that won't help you. So seek him, learn his words, but learn in the context of what you are going through. And this idea of learn close to home came to me from Nehemiah, the accountant of Nehemiah, which was a Jewish servant to a Persian king who God commissioned to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem about 2,500 years ago. And if you're familiar at all with this part of the Old Testament, you probably know the story. I won't go through the whole account, but for those of you that need a refresher, it's in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. You can just jot that down, Nehemiah. And this particular account is mostly captured in chapters 1 through 7. But I want to focus in on chapter 3 because that's where I feel like God's going to show us something. The bottom line is Jerusalem, the walls had been broken down. Now, we don't live in our current culture. We do not depend on solid walls around our cities to provide defense. Does that make sense? We live in a different kind of understanding of how defense works. How many of you know a solid wall won't keep a hack from happening in your computer, right? So solid walls, we don't think of solid walls as our best defense. But in a way, you do. We just don't think about it in our cities, in our nations. Let me ask you a quick question. How many of you have a front door on your house? Do you close that door? If I came to your house today, about 3:30 in the afternoon, and just took the hinges of your door and took the door off, and it was just wide open, how many of you would sleep well tonight? No? I know. Many of you would probably be like me. I'd be pacing in front of that door. I've got a 45. I've got a 30-30. I've got a 270. I've got a 30-06. I'm a Christian and everything, but I am going to defend my house. I'm not going to be sleeping tonight. Why? Because there's no door on my house. I became the door. Does that make sense? So while I am saying that walls don't seem to make that big a deal, the reality is, yes, they do. You got a door and you make sure it's closed at night. Why? Because if the wall has a gap in it, somebody can just walk through. I got no peace on the inside if my front door is open. Right? So every night, both my wife and I walk by the front door, make sure the door is shut, and make sure the deadbolt is closed. In part because our 2-year-old just walks out whenever she wants. It's like, we gotta make sure that lock is closed a lot. But the point I'm trying to say is, the idea is we don't want gaps in our home. Why? Because we have an adversary who will come in and cause havoc. So while we don't think of walls as a natural defense, I do want to contextualize what we're about to talk about when I'm sharing with you about learn close to home. Don't just pick up some random scripture and learn all about whatever, hyssop or something. which is really important study. It's very insightful. There's a lot to learn from that. But if you have a 3-year-old struggling with issues, or you got an 18-year-old struggling with addictions, or you've got a situation going on in your marriage, or you got a whatever it is, hyssop won't help you. Got to learn close to home. What's God say about the gap in your life? So there's an interesting passage, snapshot in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. It says this. So they were in the process, Nehemiah had gone through the process of getting permission and getting supplies and doing the survey and figuring everything out. And he finally got everybody mobilized as people started building up the wall. There was spiritual resistance. The enemy came to try to get them to stop, and he wouldn't come down from the wall. And there's so much in this whole account. But for today, the only thing I want to bring to your attention is this fact that in the process of assigning groups of people which parts of the wall to work on, in some places, Nehemiah said, hey, you're going to work right by your house. See where the wall's broken down by your house? That's where I want you to work. And we see this in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28 through 30 says, beyond the horse gate, the priest gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, came and made repairs in front of his own house. Then Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, hard word, and the keeper of the east gate made repairs. And then after him, Hananiah, the son of long word and other weird name, and the sixth son of stranger name, repaired another section. After him, Meshulam, the son of weird name, made repairs in front of his dwelling. So the point's not how well I can pronounce the names. The whole point of this is, he said, look, Jack, I know you're going to get tired, and the first chance to quit, you're going to quit. So I'm going to make sure you build the wall right by your house. Why? Because there's an incentive. Like, I don't want the enemy coming through right by my house. I don't want the enemy in anywhere, but for sure not by my house. And I was thinking about this morning, and I feel like the Lord gave me a nudge, and that is this. Don't just pick random things in God's Bible to study. Connect with Him in His Word, but do it close to home. What's God dealing with you? What's God dealing with your kids? What's God doing with your marriage, your season of life? What is that? Really connect with God on the things that really are important the most to you. Now listen, parents, everybody look at me. Parents, this is a slam dunk, what I'm about to say, but you're probably going to hear it wrong. So I'm going to slow down and say it slow. If I were you, I would consider serving in the children's ministry of the age of my kids. Why? That's where God is dealing with them. Why not tailgate with what God's dealing with them on a practical level? But Pastor Dave, I'm a terrible teacher. I would never do that. You don't have to do all the teaching. Just be in the class. Why? That's where God is talking to your kid. What would happen if your kid actually saw that you didn't just dump, did I just say dump? Drop them off in the 4-year-old class while you went in there. But what if your kid saw that you actually every other Sunday, you were in here, but every other Sunday you were in there going, la, 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 sing this happy song and do the happy dance with my happy little kid. Why? It's showing them something that your instructions at home may not do. You're actually modeling, I value what God says in the house of the God, in His house so much, I'm going to be a part of tailgating what He's teaching you in your class. And right now you're incredulous. You're like, there's no way in the world I'd do that. Let me give you permission to rethink that. Listen carefully to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Just because most parents drop their kids off and go to church doesn't mean you have to drop your kids off and go to church. You actually can shift gears. Listen, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God wants to change the way you think about this. This is your house. Listen carefully. LifeLink Church is your house. Amen. This is your house. We have wonderful people who've already volunteered to teach and serve in the kids' ministries, in the student ministry, junior high. Listen, this goes all the way up through student ministry. I don't know what you're doing on Wednesday night, but the students are here actually worshiping God. Why don't you come and stand in the back of the class and figure out what God's doing with them and tailgate with that? It doesn't have to be just a 3-year-old. This could be a 16-year-old. Well, I'm busy. The enemy's pretty busy too. Why not get a hold of some rocks and plug up the holes in your house? Now listen, I'm not mad and I'm not condemning it. The Holy Spirit showed me something about this. Please don't, if you hear this like levers I'm pulling to get people to sign up for the children's ministry, you're hearing it in the wrong channel. God showed me something this morning at 3:30 in the morning. He says, I want to show them something different. I want to change how they think about something. Hey, dads, listen, your daughter needs to see you in that class. So one of the things I love about our men's and women's ministries, we actually run not just things we do on Sunday mornings in here, but we also run midweek stuff in semesters so that parents can come alongside of their boys and their girls and say, hey, this is not just on Sundays, but here's some other things God works on life on. Why? Because that's close to home. That's close to home. I love it. This morning, I was watching on the front row. There's a dad praying for his son at the front. You know what that is? That's God making a kingdom connection. They'll never forget that. Parents, we can't just yell at our kids and expect them to get it. We have to show them why the kingdom of God is so important. We have to show them how, listen, nothing in the world will make them want the kingdom of God. You have to model that. But here's what I have a vision in my spirit. Oh my gosh, this is the longest service ever, but we're almost done. Okay, we're almost done. We get this right. We won't just have waiting lists of people trying to get into our kids' ministry, which we will if we get this right. We'll have a waiting list. You won't be able to get in. You'll want to get in, but you can't. But what'll happen is the holes will plug up in the walls of your home, and you'll watch the water level of the spirituality in your kids beginning to raise. So I know I've been talking about kids as if they're little kids, but I'm talking about junior high. I'm talking about high school. Can I just say this? Nobody can do this but you. Moms, you're the only one that can be a mom. Dads, you're the only one that can be the dad. But what happened if over the next 2 or 3 years you actually locked in with your kids, not just at home, but here in church, and you actually grew through the seasons that God's talking to them with and finished the journey with them? You know what you'd be doing? What we see in Nehemiah chapters 3. Right by my house. I'm learning. I'm seeking the king, I'm seeking his words, but I'm also his ways close to home. I feel this so strongly. I got up this morning and I texted Pastor Chris and said, Pastor Chris, I think we're going to see something here. I need a quick connect for people who actually sense and feel you talking to them in the middle of this, because here's what I know about how we work, we leak. If we don't catch this when we're sensing the Spirit of God challenging us on this, what we'll do is we'll leave and we'll think about it and go, that was a great idea. I hope somebody does that. And you'll miss what God's talking to you about. So can we do this? Can we put that text word up on the screen? If you're interested in at least exploring what this could look like for you, you're like, but I'm on the greeters team. We'll find a way. But I'm in the choir. We'll find a way. But I've never done that before. We'll find. You don't have to be the expert. Just be in the room. Pastor Tiffany, is that right? Just be in the room. If you'll text generations to that number. And by the way, this is for those of you that are worshiping as part of our church family, but you're online. Just because you're on vacation doesn't mean you have to miss this window too. You can actually do this as well. I feel this so strongly that there will be moments in this summer when I'm not preaching, I'm going to be in the kids' ministry. You know why? I've got a 2-year-old. Yeah, but you're the pastor of the church. Yeah, but I have a 2-year-old. I want to know what she's going through too. God's trying to teach us how to do something different, how to change the way we think. That's how he changes to new people. And then he goes on to say, then, everyone say then, you will know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I'd like to ask those of you that are here, if you got kids, whatever age they're in, text generations, let's have the conversation, at least figure out what it could look like. You're not committing to it today. You're just saying, hey, I feel something. I would like to explore this a little further. Pastor, if I don't have kids, I would like to have kids. Text generations. We'll figure out where God wants to put you at too. You know what I feel like? We're going to be the church in town that has a waiting list a mile long of kids, people trying to get into kids ministry, because we get the picture. We're not just taking care of kids. We're plugging up holes in their hearts that the enemy's trying to walk in and out of. Last thing is this. Here's the key to all this. Colossians 3:23-24 says this: whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you are serving the Lord Christ. What I've learned about me, and I'm not going to project this on you, you may find this is a similar pattern for you too, but what I've learned about me is this. More times than I want to admit, I'm actually serving myself as the Lord. You know how I know? As soon as I want to stop doing something, I just stop. But when I serve the Lord and he says, do this, I keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Why? Because I'm serving the Lord. If I serve me, if I just quit whenever I want to, I'm not serving the Lord. I'm serving me. Y'all see it? The key to this is not do what you want. It's God, what are you saying? That's what Jesus said when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but yours be done. And then for the joy set before him, he actually endured the resistance. Why? Because the joy set before him. All right, I hope you guys got something out of that. So when it comes to seek first the kingdom of God, you've got to seek God's kingdom first by tuning into God. Spiritually, not just factually. Seek the king and his word, and we learn his words, then we learn his ways. The second thing we learned today is let's build the wall close to home. What season of life are you in? What are you working through? Let's connect with what God's doing in that spot. I use the illustration of children's ministry, because a lot of us are parents or nephews or uncles or aunts or whatever. Let's be a part of that. But the reality is, others of us, that's not as applicable as health challenges we're going through or crisis in our marriages or other things along those lines. Do you follow? So let's don't just pick up the word and learn about hyssop. Let's go meet God in his word about the stuff we're actually going through and let him do it. All right, that's about it. Y'all get something out of that? Let's give the Lord some thanks today. Father, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness. You're a good God. You're powerful, you're present, and we're grateful for it. Today has been an interesting journey, but we're in a season of time where we want you more than we want the convenience of our schedules. So we're just flexible today because we don't want the perfection of a great church service. We want a powerful encounter that changes who we are. We want your presence and power more than we want the ritual. Today, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you would emboss the truths that you're actually showing us into the walls of our hearts, and we would never lose them. Give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me talk to those of you that are not walking with God relationally. But you know you need to get your life right with Jesus and start a relationship with him that changes your life forever. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you say, that's me on the inside. And in just a moment, we're going to say a prayer together. I'd like to ask you to open your heart, open your mouth, and let's say this together. Ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Make me brand new, I pray. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Empower me with your strength to follow Jesus as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.